Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Can you imagine that? You're looking at this ape here in the Cincinnati Zoo. Can you imagine if you had a child that you were taking him to the zoo that day, and he's 3 years old, and he climbs over and falls in to where that gorilla's at, and you can't even get to that particular child to rescue them? That's what just happened at the Cincinnati Zoo. Let's take a look.
I don't know how to go. Hey. Come
here,
come
here. Okay.
Mommy's right here.
Please come. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Isaiah.
Everybody back up. I think he's trying to
wait. Okay. Mommy loves you. I'm right here.
Thank you.
No, he's playing with it.
He's playing with it.
There's the zoo worker.
Oh my God, he's drowning.
Can you imagine the feelings of a parent that's three-year-old child now has fallen? You think the child would have died from the fall into that water down there, the moat that the ape was in. But right before that video cut, they made a decision that the child's life was more important than the gorilla's life. And they took a gun and they killed the gorilla. The question you would ask, well, why didn't they put a tranquilizer dart? They said it would take too long and the child would be in danger during the time that was affecting him. I mean, this is a very huge animal. And so the whole thing's tragic, but the kid survived. It's a miracle that he survived. And who would have ever thought that all of a sudden people begin to protest that they killed the animal to save the three-year-old boy? Over 300,000 people signed a petition to be able to say that it was wrong to be able to kill the animal, and they're wanting to be able to take the mother and press charges on her. It's a wild world, and they begin to protest. As a matter of fact, let's take a look at the protesters now.
The shooting dead of a gorilla as he dragged a four-year-old child around his zoo enclosure has outraged animal lovers. Over 200,000 have signed a petition and want the child's parents to be held accountable. Harambe, a western lowland gorilla, was killed by zookeepers after the boy had climbed over a barrier.
So they're beginning to protest.
So people are beginning to protest. There wasn't much to that, you know, real about protesting, but people are protesting and saying that, you know, 300,000, as a matter of fact, reportedly last numbers have written and saying they think the parents should be prosecuted, right. The animal shouldn't have been killed. But it makes me think about this. It makes me think about, why aren't we protesting in the killing of 54 million children since 1973? Why weren't we protesting when all these newsreels came out of the undercover videos inside the Planned Parenthood, right? And it's like, it's kind of like, are we losing our mind? And then I think about Perry Nobles, right? Perry Nobles is he's a pastor, and he's literally, he wrote an article. He's thinking like, have we lost our mind?
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
What does he say right there?
He says, not too long ago, I wrote some thoughts about the uproar caused over Cecil the Lion. Now I feel I must bang the drum again. A few days ago, it seems a three-year-old boy fell into the gorilla exhibit at the Cincinnati Zoo. The gorilla dragged the boy through shallow water and up a rock wall. So in order to protect the child, the gorilla was shot. Human life was chosen over the gorilla. And that has dominated the news in our country. I read today that over 300,000 people have signed a petition to try to get the police to investigate the parents. Now, let me be clear. If the mom and dad thought it would be awesome to toss their toddler into the gorilla's playground, then something should have been done. However, I would be willing to bet that's not the case. What's my point here? It's simple. Hypocrisy. I wonder if the same 300,000 people have been equally bothered by the Christians being beheaded, tortured in the Middle East. I wonder if the same 300,000 people were as upset when all of the dirt was exposed on Planned Parenthood. I wonder if the same 300,000 people were as upset when Dr. Kermit Gosnell murdered a child after a botched abortion. I feel bad for the gorilla, but I would argue that human life simply has more value. The Bible states in Genesis 1:27 that God made man and woman and no other creature in his own image. Psalms 139 talks about how we were custom designed by the hands of our Creator. Now, let me be very clear. This does not mean we can be cruel to animals, even cats. However, it was very clear in this situation that a human life was at stake. And when you consider that life against the feelings of some people who most likely never saw the gorilla, putting the gorilla down, though tragic, was absolutely the right call.
I mean, you think about it. And what's the name of his article? What did he title it?
Americans have officially lost our freaking minds.
Okay. Well, that's a pastor. He's just like, why aren't we caring about Gosnell's victims? Why aren't we caring about all the children being killed? Why aren't we caring about the children that are being reportedly crucified in the Middle East and beheaded
right now,
and right this very moment? But yet we're concerned about a line, and we're concerned about they're going to take down a dentist because of killing a line. Why the same people are probably okay. I don't know this to be true, but people are not saying anything. I know this about what's the name of the young man that did the undercover videos and
David Dalyden. Yes.
Oh my goodness, he revealed exactly what was going on based on his reports inside these clinics, and it's the taking of life. 54 mm-hmm. million the number is reported to Senate. We have that source for you on BFN Torch. And so it just, you know, we think about, you know, human, he says, this is what the Lord says. He says, take dominion over every living thing in the air, in the sea, mm-hmm. in the ground. But, you know, we're not supposed to destroy it. But if it's going to destroy a human being, if there's danger that we're going to lose somebody who's made in the image and the likeness of God, then you would actually stop that. It makes me think of Billy Graham.
Yeah.
You know, Billy Graham was written a question in this Q&A that he did. The question was, you know, my pet means a lot to me, and I hate to see people neglect animals and treat them cruelly. Does the Bible say anything about how we should treat our animals? God made them also, didn't he? And so this is a big deal because, this is how, you know, I say the people that, you know, some of the reports that I've heard, that people who end up hurting people started off hurting animals.
Yeah.
If they talk bad to their animal, they're going to talk bad to you, right? And it's like, you know, how compassion and how you treat things. You know, you catch the many fish that you're going to eat, but you don't catch twice as much and then throw away the other half of fish. It's not really caring about it. But God does say something specifically. As a matter of fact, he even says it right here. This is Billy Graham answering that question about, you know, we should care about the animals, but not more than folks, right?
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
He says, yes, God made everything that lives on the earth, including the animals. In the beginning, the Bible says, God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals. And it was so. And yes, the Bible commands us to take care of the animals under our care. One of the signs of a righteous man, the Bible says, is that he takes care of his animals. Even the animal of an enemy was to be treated kindly. If you come across your enemy's ox or donkey wandering off, be sure to take it back to him. One reason God commanded his people to rest one day out of seven was so that their animals would be refreshed. In fact, the Bible says we must never treat any part of God's creation with contempt. When we do, we are indirectly treating our Creator with contempt. Instead, God calls us to be stewards or trustees of his creation. And the Bible reminds us that we are responsible to him for the way we treat it. We've often forgotten this, but it's still true. And when we ignore it, we not only hurt God's creation, but we also hurt ourselves. Most of all, however, God calls us to put him first in our lives. He loves us, and our greatest calling is to respond to his love by opening our hearts and lives to his son, Jesus Christ.
That's a good response, because it's like, we talk about the environment, we talk about animals, and it's like, you know what, we have people talking more better about the environment than we do about human beings, better about their pets than they do about people. Their babies and people, and it's like, it's all important, but never is a human life less important than the earth, a tree, or an animal, but they are important, but in that order, you know, first humans, and then the rest. As a matter of fact, when we get back from this break, I want to tell you about Max, and I want to tell you about Dream Mountain and how God spoke to me through an animal, not voice. This is not a donkey talking to me like Bell, right? Because there it is. A donkey did talk to him and said, hey, fool, what you doing? You're going to get us killed. But how, you know, God loves us. He created animals. He created the earth. And you'll be really surprised, and it may just bear witness with you. Well, speaking of Dream Mountain, I was going through a time in my life that, you know, we've been in ministry for a long time, and we had been walking through the Malachi mandate and seeing so many things that you read about in the Bible take place, and not just miracles. And in that, after a while, you just, sometimes you just get beat down, you get tired, and you're just thinking, man, I don't know, you know, if I have any energy to be able to go on. You need God to touch you. You need a touch from God, right? Because God gives a man a vision, as Dr. Mike Brown says, and then he destroys the man. This is when you think nothing ever is going to happen again. And then he brings forth the vision. Jesus said, unless the seed dies, it'll never bear fruit. And so when you're going through that season that Joyce Myers describes as when an eagle begins to basically reboot its situation and kind of plucks all of his feathers out and does different things, it's just, you know, change of life, I guess you would call it, something like that. You know, you're going in ministry. Transition. And I remember I went to Rome, Georgia, and they're going to tell me the name of the college that was there. And Chick-fil-A, you know, Truett Caffey, the founder of Chick-fil-A, he was a big investor into that campus. And it's just a beautiful campus. Mm-hmm. And it started with one lady that had her house on top of this mountain, and she would sit and she would just dream over this land. And she saw children that were not getting educated. And she said, you know, she just began to dream, what can I do for that children? And they were sharecroppers' children. And so she just began to have a little small school and educate the children right there. And that grew into this large college today that's right there in Rome, Georgia. And I believe it's called Rose College or something. They'll let me know in a moment. And so I go there to Dream Mountain, and they turn this dairy farm, this old dairy farm, into apartments and this beautiful, it's about 100-something years old dairy farm. And Don and I got a chance to go there, spend some time. It's Berry College, Berry College in Rome, Georgia. And it was just beautiful. But I was still at that point. I mean, sometimes you get this point in your life and you're just thinking, you know, maybe this is where you're at today. Maybe that's why I'm sharing it for you. And so one of the tasks why we were there was to be able to just go to this mountain, go find our place somewhere on this beautiful property, and just relax, spend time with God. And the only thing I could do was go up this mountain. And I think every single step I went up this mountain, every time my foot would land, this is what I would say to God. I would say, rescue me. And then my next foot would land. I go, rescue me. Because I'm thinking, dear Lord, if God doesn't rescue me, I'm not going to make it. I mean, it was severe. It was intense. And it's like David said, Lord, if you don't come and rescue me, I'm not going to make this. And this is a tall mountain. This is a huge mountain. I mean, you're seeing, you know, the top of the mountain here at Dream Mountain. But I'm walking to that point going up there. And believe me, there was a lot of steps and there was a lot of statements that said, God, rescue me. I mean, I didn't have words to even articulate. All I could say was just rescue me. All I could say was help. And you could read the Psalms, and David talks about that at times. Of course, I wasn't even thinking of Psalms. I was like, rescue me, right? And I finally get to the top of Dream Mountain. I was wanting God to restore my vision. And to, you know, that's maybe you. Maybe you're thinking like it's all over and that you can't, you could see so clearly one day, but you know, the enemy's used a lot of folks to come against you and try to snuff out your light and blur the vision, and doubters and haters and unbelievers and Judases and all that kind of stuff happen. And you're thinking, I don't even know if I want to have the vision anymore. That's kind of what happened to Joseph, right? He shared it with folks and they begin to lock him up, sell him into slavery. And it was all process.
Right.
And so, so at that point you really can't see. So I get to the top of this mountain and I sit on this bench you're seeing right here, this particular bench. And I'm looking out over Berry College and I'm still thinking, dear God, you know, restore my vision or give, I need help, rescue me. And all of a sudden, Steve, all of a sudden, because if God didn't rescue me, it wasn't going to happen. That was going to be it. It was going to be totally it. Two dogs out of the middle of nowhere come up on the top of that mountain right there where that bench is, and they got a small pine cone in their mouth, one of them does, and he throws the pine cone at me. Like he's playing catch with me. I'm like, what is this? You know? So I take the pine cone, I throw the pine cone back. He catches the pine cone. He comes, both of them just looking at me like, what's your problem?
throw it back.
I'm in ministry. You gotta understand this is hard. It's like, right. Yeah. So, and you know, we already did the Malachi mandate. It's been 10 years of that and prophesying and just intense ministry. Brownsville Revival, mm-hmm. and it was just, I mean, you know, just awesome things that have happened. But at that point, that's where it was. And so all of a sudden, once that dog threw that thing back at me, all of a sudden the Lord just began to speak to me again. And he began to show me about, you're going to have to play. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to play. And you're going to have to just enjoy right now this time. What you're going to have to do right now is begin to enjoy things. And so I go back off the mountain, and I'm back in the dairy farm, right?
Right.
I'm saying that because this dream is pretty wild. And this is also Kathy, Truett Caffey, who is Chick-fil-A, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who has billions of billboards, right? Going, eat chicken. No, eat more beef. No, eat chicken.
Eat more chicken.
Because got cows on this. Got big cows saying eat.
Eat more chicken.
Eat chicken. Eat chicken.
They just spell it wrong.
So I'm in this dairy farm where they milked cows for years. Basically, one of his founders at this point is Truett Caffey. He lives on the campus. As a matter of fact, at that time, he's passed now. And I go to sleep, and God gives me a dream. You know, thank God for dreams. God has really spoken to me in a lot of night seasons and night visions. This is pretty wild, though. This is like a pretty wild dream. So all of a sudden, I'm in my backyard, but it's not your backyard. Mm-hmm. How it is. Instead of having a dog, I have a cow.
Oh, okay.
I didn't have a cow, but I had a cow. And the cow was just as agile as a happy dog. It was a full cow, but it was like,
that's not normal.
Running around, jumping around. It was flexible,
yeah.
You know, and it wasn't like it's going to bull you over like a cow. He went and playing fetch, and this cow was just all happy.
Hmm.
You know, I'm thinking, this is wild. Donna's going to freak out when I talk about this, right? And so all of a sudden, you know, I'm just thinking, like, I tell Donna, I said, of course, I probably always would have had a dog. And so the Lord just lays in my heart, that's what you're going to need to do. And so I tell Donna, I said, Donna, my wife, we're going to get a dog. She went, okay.
She was okay with that.
She
right?
was okay with it eventually. Eventually.
Eventually.
Eventually. And so I come back, and we've been working so hard. We've been working hard a long, long time. Pat used to not have gray hair. And so my son-in-law, he's a captain at the Pensacola Fire Department in the city of Pensacola, mm-hmm. Chuck Walters, tells me about, there's a shepherd rescue. I wanted a German shepherd. And there's a shepherd rescue. I didn't know that even existed, but they exist to be able to rescue just that breed,
yeah.
Shepherds. And I spent 9 years in law enforcement, and I just fell in love with German Shepherds. And so I went, and you're looking at messing my dog. I went there, and this little puppy, he was about 9, 10 months, maybe a year old, and somebody had bought him for somebody going through chemotherapy. Thought it would be therapeutic. Chemotherapy, you just need to survive. Yeah. It's not time to be able to clean up after a puppy dog. Right?
Yeah.
He's chewing on my feeder line. Anyway, so and so I go there, and this is what I do, Steve. I'm there, and he's in a cage, like a grass floor kennel, probably about 10 foot by 10 foot. His feet is bigger than his head. He's a puppy. And I go in there, and I just sit down beside him because the breeders, it's like, hey, the dog's got to like you first. And so I went and sat in his cage, and he sat beside me, and I looked at him, and he looked at me. And I said, you know what? I'm a rescue too. That's what he was. He was a rescue. Yeah. And God began to speak to me that the way that he rescued me, I was going to rescue Max.
Wow.
Because he rescued me. When I thought it was over, I mean, I already thought it was over. I mean, many things have been done, but when it's over, it's over.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, as I'm sitting in a cage, which is similar to ministry. It's all right. I'm sitting in this cage, a kennel cage, and Max is looking at me. I mean, we just bonded like the second, you know. And I thought, man, he's the one. Yeah, so it's Max and me. Max and me. So we get Max. When you take a rescue dog, the first thing they do is make sure the full-blooded shepherd can never have a puppy. Yeah, they take him through to get him neutered, all that. Spayed or neutered, I don't know which one it is. Can't have children. And so, which is sad because he's full-blooded, shepherd. And Amber, my daughter, young at the time, she's about to have her second child any moment now, that she wanted a dog, Jared wanted a dog, my son, and Donna was not eventually into it, right? So we go and we get this dog. We hadn't had in the house before. And it's in a new place. Of course, I wanted an inside dog.
Right. Right. Which German Shepherds are not. Well, sometimes they are.
So, just saying. And so now she's going to put him outside. No. And so here this dog was under this medication. This is hilarious now. This medication. And just freaking out. And Amber and Jared must have liked pork chops to him. And Amber wanted a dog so bad. But yet at the same time, she was running for her life for this dog. It was chasing around the pool. No, I want him. No, I want him. I want him. Right? And he was so strong. We put him in a cage. And he literally bent the cage open like Hercules. And he said, and he wanted to be close to us.
Yeah.
He wanted to be he's a shepherd.
Yeah.
And he just
close to the family.
Close to the family. And it was amazing how God began to speak to me like that. Because the truth is, I'm a rescue. I was lost. I didn't know God. People talked about God. You know, I was a law enforcement officer. I had a whole life full of darkness and trying to find what was right in all the wrong places. And it was left me empty and hurting and hurt a lot of folks or whatever. You just don't know. You're just broken. And you're thinking, maybe this, maybe that, maybe this. And all of a sudden, one night, when I was on patrol down on the Gulf Coast in Pensacola, Florida, as a deputy sheriff for Escambia County, about 2 o'clock in the morning, God just calls my name. All of a sudden, it was like hunger for God. I meant like no hunger, listening to Marvin Gaye on the radio, you know, different things going on, just in my cruiser. And here I was a deputy on patrol, and God rescued me. I mean, he just rescued me out the middle of nowhere. And then all of a sudden, I was just strong. I got to find, you know, what's Christian radio at, right? And so then I have to call the dispatch up, and I call one of the dispatchers up, and I say, where's Christian radio at? Is there Christian radio? And they told me, at that time, it didn't come out until like 6:30. And so I pull over in a parking lot, and I pulled over into Brownsville Assembly of God's parking lot, 3100 West DeSoto Street, Pastor John Kilpatrick. Never knew him before a day in my life. He was pastoring then at that time. It's like 1986. And it was dirt then, and dirt parking lot. And as I was waiting for that to come, waiting for that to come on, Christian radio to come on, And when it came on, I was like, okay, I can do this. It was a quartet, you know, like a barbershop quartet. I think it was like Pat Likes. And so then I looked up on Pastor Kilpatrick's sign, and it said, and I'm a single man.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, dinner on Thursday night.
That is my language. There you go.
It said, dinner on Thursday night, right? And of course, I was single. I was like, this is great. But also, I thought, this is a great opportunity for me to come to a place that I wasn't familiar with. And that night, when I came to the church that night, there, not only did I meet God, but also met Donna.
Mm-hmm.
We actually pulled into the parking lot together. Her brother said, got yourself a new bow? I'm like, what is that? I mean, all these holy people, right?
Yeah.
Like, I was just brand new in the Lord. And had Second Street all over me. Anyway, God just rescued me. But you know what? Sometimes you need rescuing again.
Mm-hmm.
I used to always say, I was so excited when I got born again. Can I get born again?
Right? Yeah.
And the truth is, you can. Because what happened, all the stuff gets piled up on you and all this stuff, enemy just likes to attack you. But you can go to that altar experience in your life, maybe right there in your car now, maybe right there in your living room. You can say, you know what? Whatever happened between now and then, I'm just going to put it under the blood. And just like I did the day that I got saved, I'm going to get saved again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that probably blows a lot of people's theology. Yeah. And just say, I need to be rescued. On that mountain, on Dream Mountain, if God didn't rescue me, I can't tell you where I'd be. I can't tell you where I would be. And God spoke to me on that mountain. He spoke to Pat on that mountain, as a matter of fact, later on. And it was just a powerful thing. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you right now. You may think that, you know, you're at your wit's end. You did everything right. You've given it your all. You've probably ministered to a lot of people. You've laid your life down for your family. And maybe somewhere in this area, they just turned on you or it just turned bad. But look at biblical experiences that happen every single time. That's part of our process is we're doing it for Jesus, not for everyone else. We love them, but our reward's in heaven, mm-hmm. and our words with the Lord. And you'll be tested in your authenticity of what you're doing with that. And when I felt hopeless, when I felt like that I didn't even care. I didn't. It's a scary thing. This is when I know I need time with the Lord to be alone with Him for a sabbatical or something. Mm-hmm. I don't think I love anymore. I don't care to love anymore. I'm feeling a lot like Second Street. And so I need to be free. I need to be freed here, right?
Yeah.
I need to be freed. And because the only thing that counts is what you do in love.
Yeah.
And when you can't see anymore, you lost your ability to see what God said, or you're thinking like, I don't even want to look in that direction anymore. I like what Joyce Meyer says. She said years ago, she said, I drove past my ministry and stuck my tongue out and kept on going. she didn't even go to work that day. Because those times happen. I mean, the enemy's just
difficulty
always working.
Times. Yeah.
But just like he rescued me on patrol as a deputy sheriff in Escambia County, Pensacola, Florida, you know, and he rescued me again on Dream Mountain and gave me my dream back. And now you're seeing the dreams unfold, even more of the dreams unfold. It's, as a matter of fact, the VFN Dream Center was part of that dream as we're seeing things take place. But God can restore your dream. He can restore your dream. Don't worry. Listen, the people around you that are making you feel bad, they're the ones. You don't need to seek counsel from them. You need to walk up that proverbial dream mountain and say, God, rescue me. Because you're going to stand all alone by yourself. It's you and God, no witnesses, no suspects. And that's who you wanted to please anyway. Just give it all to God. People will pull on you and tug on you and demand things from you, but God just says, all I want from you is love. And get back to that place again. God wants to rescue you now. And if you want somebody to pray with you, go online, email us, or call us at 850-780-6520 or call us toll-free. You can see it on your screen. It's 844-40-VFN-TV. And just say, you know what? I want somebody to pray with me. Because God did it for me. If God rescued me again, and he gave me a rescue, he sent me to the place of confinement. Maybe you're feeling confined like Max and I were in that cage, you know? And it didn't bother me. I felt safer there than I did even outside. There's religious people out there, right? I'm safe in here. I think about Jim Baker. But put chills down his back when he was on that bus and he was going to prison, wasn't the prostitute or the drug addict or the person on the street. It was religious folks that turned against him during that time.
Mm.
That's what. And now look at him now. Now he's being used powerfully by God. And it's like, and Rick Joyner says in the vision God gave him in The Final Quest and in Torch and the Sword, that the biggest battle in the last days is going to be a religious battle. People who think they're doing God a favor while they're trying to kill you.
Yeah.
And then there'll be this authentic church that's just loving on folks and trying to reach folks and telling people, leading people to God and going out and doing what the Lord said. But it'll be a big, big religious battle thing going on. So I want to encourage you. You need to get rescued before that happens and just say, God, rescue me. Rescue me. As a matter of fact, I want to pray. We're going to go to a break. I want to pray for you right now. When we get back from this break, I want to show you a little bit about Max because we got a chance to spend a day together. Father God, I just pray right now for that woman and that man that's listening right now. They're thinking everything is over. Not only are they ready to end their ministry, to end their work, but the enemy's even talked to them about ending their life. And I just break that spirit of suicide over you. I break that spirit of just wanting to destroy the ministry that Lord has blessed you with and that work and that business that God's blessed you with. And I just speak life over you. I just speak life over you, life. And breathe again. I say, breathe again. I say, be rescued in Jesus' name. Forgetting what's behind, pressing on towards what's ahead, towards the high call. Just letting that stuff go, letting it go, forgiving, letting go, letting go, letting go. And I just speak destiny over you. You will live and not die, and you'll declare the wonders of the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, we want to be able to pray with you. Call us. You see the number on your screen. Write us, and we will pray. We're praying for you now. But we get back from the break, you're going to see a day in the life of two with rescues. Well, I'm so excited. I'm so excited to be able to talk about my day. Yes. Two rescues. My dog, Max, he's a rescue. And me, a rescue. God rescued me, and I rescued Max. It began on Dream Mountain. Well, let me tell you about a day. Well, I gave him a bath. That was a big ordeal. That's a huge ordeal. We want to talk about that. I was like, oh. So I put him in the truck. And we're in the truck, and he's so excited. You know, Max is pumped, and we're going to go out, and we're going to spend the day in downtown Pensacola, right? And he is really pumped. And even though I gave him a bath, there tend to be hairs all over the place, right?
Still everywhere.
But, hey, it was me and my dog in my front seat in my truck. I mean, does life get any better than that?
I don't know, truck.
I saw this one particular guy. I was shocked. He actually had himself in the driver's seat. He had his dog beside him, and then he had the wife by the window. I'm like, dude, that don't work. That ain't going to work. Of course, Donna doesn't get in the car when Max is in the truck. And so here we are. I mean, think about this thing. Just stop in your life for a moment. Go get in your truck. Wash your dog first. You can put him up front and put him in your front seat. And we went all the way out to downtown Pensacola. Yeah.
Beautiful.
And we're sitting there, right there, looking over the Bay of Pensacola, just kicking back, you know, and looking at the water, and he's watching the seagulls go on, and hold on a minute. And so you're looking at, you know, spending this time with him.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking about, God rescued me. He's a little bit older than he was. Now he's got a little gray hair. I got more gray hair. But he was just a young bay pup, you know, when he got rescued. And when God rescued me, you know, off of Dream Mountain. And it was just so beautiful out there. And we're just thinking, two rescues on the end of this pier, you know what I'm saying? And he began to look around. He's looking back at me. You know, we're sitting there talking about, actually, I'm talking to him. He ain't talking back. He's like, right. And just spending some time together. And other people brought the dog out there. And their dogs used the bathroom on the pier. And they're all looking at me. I'm like, that's not my dog. You know, I would have picked it up if it was my dog. But it's just beautiful out there. We've got the Pensacola Wahoos. Mm-hmm. Stadium was right there. We were able to look at the stadium going on, just enjoying what was happening, what was taking place. But then Max looks back at me. I take him on a walk, and he's looking with just shock. You can see him right here just kind of looking. He's kind of just staring at, not that, but there's another picture where he's just looking straight ahead. Yeah, right there. And he's going, what the heck is that, Dad? What is that? You know, and I said, that's a pelican, son. That's a pelican, son, right? And that is a pelican he was looking at. And all of a sudden, that thing spread
freaked
its wings.
He
says, oh, my goodness, I got to get out of here. And so all of a sudden, we go back and we kick back on the grass, grassy hill, you know, on the Bay Area where all this boats come in, and we're just watching the sun go down. Two rescues.
Yeah.
Rescued by God. God rescued me. I rescued him. And he reminds me continually, you know, that's what God, that God will rescue again. We just spent our time, you know, there. But we were tired, man. We were so tired. We finally got back in the truck. Do you want to know what dog tired looks like? Look at this. See that tongue, see that tongue hanging out? That's dog tired. Because he and I both felt just like that. I mean, it started off with a bath and everything. I'm like, boy, I am worn
out.
That's
a full day right there.
It's a full day. But the most exciting thing, look at this, tongue hanging out. That's dog tired right there. That's dog tired. And he was serious, man. That tongue.
When the head is not out the window, he's like, I'm ready to go.
His right ear was like sleeping. His left ear was like, okay, I'm listening to you with this one ear, but my tongue and my right ear is gone, right? And it was just a day, two rescues, you know, spending time together. So, yeah, I mean, God wants us to take care of our animals. But we don't exalt animals over human beings. Mm-hmm. We just take care of all of God's creation. We need to be concerned about all life, but never exalting any life over human life. Because it's men that are created in the image and the likeness of God. And he created men to rule over what's in the air, what's in the sea, what's in the underground. So maybe that's you. You know, maybe you need to be rescued. Maybe you're hearing people talk about, you know, kill the gorilla. And you're thinking, like, am I wrong for caring about my pets and taking care of my cattle and even cats, as the article
even
talked
cats.
About, right?
Cats too.
And the thing about it is, care about everything.
Yeah.
Care about everything. God cares about you. He knows not just the number of hairs that are on your head. Obviously, it's less for Steve than for me. But he knows the number of the hair. Each hair has a specific number. He knows, not a bird doesn't fall from the sky, which would be considered, right, like an animal,
yep,
without him knowing it. And when we chose that 3-year-old child's life over that gorilla, yes, it was sad that the gorilla had to go, but it's good that the 3-year-old child lived.
That's right.
We should care about all life. And if we start caring about all life, including human life, in its infant stages, in its womb stages. Listen, I have a grandchild. Her name is Mallory. She's due any day now. I couldn't imagine why you'd want to take her life. She'll be out here. You'll be seeing her soon, probably. But listen, all life matters. I want to pray for you right now. Maybe you need God to rescue you. Maybe you're thinking, I need to get a right perspective of all things. Let's just pray right now. Father God, I thank you, God, for this child that lived, this 3-year-old boy, for whatever reason, he ended up with this gorilla, Lord God. I thank you for the life of the gorilla, but I thank you for the life of that child lived. I thank you for the perspective, Lord, from this pastor saying, why are we prioritizing animals higher than the persecuted Christians? God, help us to care about every human life and to do something about what's taking place with the persecution of Christians and Jews around the earth. And God, we just thank you, Father God, for speaking to us and rescuing us. God, and I pray right now, just like Steve, like me, like Pat that's right here at my right hand, you rescued us, God, that you would rescue those that are watching and listening right now, that you would rescue them, that you would save them, that you would restore them, that you would reboot their life, give them their dream again. I pray in Jesus' name. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Dated Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Dated Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.